Sin can be forgiven. There's a way prepared for you and me. There's a way that leads a soul to heaven. That way is Christ, the sinner's perfect plea. Look unto Him whose power can save your soul. Look unto Him whose blood can set you free.
That you would guide us now in the discussion that we have here. And Lord, as we study more in the weeks ahead about door knocking and soul winning, God, help us to put these things within our lives and make them practical by going out and knocking on doors and inviting people to Christ Jesus. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Now bless the next moments that we have. Thank you for our country. Thank you for our president, our vice president, our cabinets, all the ones in the judiciary system. God, I give them Christian folk that can be in their pathway to be a witness to them. They may know more about you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to be a light in a dark world today. Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you've already done, what you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right. Pastor White, there's a handout back there. Can we make sure everybody gets one of those handouts? If you need to get back to your seat, go ahead and get back to your seat. However, if you're more on the sides, you'll be able to see the screen a little bit better. So the more on this side, better. So if you guys scoot out this way, you'll see better. If you guys will scoot in this way, you'll see better. There's some handouts Pastor White's going to give you. We're going to be going over soul winning training here over the next several weeks. And normally we would do this in the fall before we start doing door knocking for several reasons. We want to make sure that you're equipped to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, but at the same time want to make sure that those that have never gone get a chance to get some training, get refreshed. And then as we go out and do some door knocking, we want to make sure that you are very, very much aware that you have everything that it takes. And we also want to take time to introduce those that have never done organized soul winning and visitation, giving you some procedures, some principles, and we're going to endeavor to follow these at Shining Light Baptist Church. So over the next several weeks, we're going to address why we go. Of course, we're commanded to go. We're going to talk about when we go, and we have the capability to go, and then we're going to talk about how we go, our conversation, or some practicalities of going. But first of all, let me say that I know that everyone cannot make it on Saturday visitation. I understand that not everybody can make it, but all of us should be a witness wherever we go. Now, teachers and leaders, it's required in them that they go soul winning, because if this church is to grow, it's going to grow because of our efforts in soul winning. So teachers and leaders are required to go. Everybody else is encouraged to go, but the Bible commands us all to go. Amen. So I just want to put that stipulation out there. So you've got your sheet there. What we're going to do, first of all, there's a 10-minute YouTube presentation. And there's a guy knocking on the door, and he's going to take about 10 minutes. And he's going to lead somebody to Christ. Now, you say, preacher, does it take only 10 minutes? It really doesn't take long at all. It could go longer. It could go shorter. For all intents and purposes, what you're about to see on this screen, however, is not your typical soul winning endeavor. Typically, when you knock on the door, it does not go as you see here. Can it go like this? Yes, it can. Can it go quicker than what you see? Yes, it can. It all depends on where the Holy Spirit has the person and where the Holy Spirit has you. If the Holy Spirit has all of you and the Holy Spirit has already worked on that heart, the soul winning can go just like that, and the soul can be won. It doesn't take a whole lot if the Holy Spirit's already done his job on them and he's doing his job on you. So you're going to see a presentation here. The guy's going to say some things here, and it's going to seem like he's moving fast. But we'll talk a little bit about that after it's done. But this is just a basic preview of what door knocking can be like. Amen. And then I'll ask some questions afterwards. So go ahead, Sam. Let's get that going. Oh, guess I got to take it off of mute, don't I?
Hi, how you doing? Pastor Steve Anderson. Just want to invite you to Faith Forward Baptist Church. Do you go to church anywhere?
Yeah, I go to Grace Community Church.
Oh, okay, yeah, right here on Southern Avenue. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, more important than going to church, though, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven?
Well, I think so. I'm a pretty good person.
Okay. Well, could I just take a couple minutes and show you how you can know that 100% for sure?
Sure. I mean,
okay, well, look. I'll just show you this real quick. It's only take a few minutes, but the Bible says right here in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So we all have sinned.
Right, of course.
I've sinned, you've sinned. Okay, and not only that, but the Bible says we come short. Mm-hmm. So do we measure up to what God expects? No, I mean, we come short. And we've all sinned. Well, there's a punishment for our sin. The Bible says right here in Romans 6:23, mm-hmm. it says, for the wages of sin is death. So what's God's punishment for our sin?
Death.
Okay. Well, look, after we die, though, that's not the end. Okay. No. After we die, there's what the Bible talks about, the second death. I'm going to show you that right here in Revelation 20, verse 14. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So after you die, there's a second death of going to a place called hell, which is the lake of fire, where you're basically punished and tortured for your sin. I mean, you have to pay for all your sins you've done your whole life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Then right over here it says, look, all liars. Now, have you ever told a lie before?
Yeah, I think everybody
has. Yeah. I mean, every single person. But it says all liars shall have their part. It lists all these other sins. But then it says even all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second. So according to this verse, where are all liars going?
According to that verse, it says they're going to hell.
Okay, but look, God loves us, right?
Yeah.
Do you think if God loves us, does he want us to go to hell?
No.
No. So because God loves it, but do you think that he just said that, he didn't mean it? I mean, obviously, if it's in the Bible, he meant that. That's the punishment that we deserve for our sins. But because God loves us, he doesn't want us to have to pay that punishment. So here's what God did for us. It says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, so what that basically is talking about, you know, God himself became a human being. Jesus Christ, you know, he's born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, never sinned. He lived the perfect life none of us could live, okay? And, of course, you know the story. They lied about him, they arrested him, they beat him, they spit on him, nailed him to the cross, okay? Well, when he was nailed to the cross, the Bible says he, who himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. So what it means when it says he bare our sins in his own body, every sin you've ever done in your whole life, every sin I've ever done, when Jesus was on that cross, it was as if he had done it. Okay, And so he was being punished for murder, for stealing, for lying, all the sins that we and everyone else in the whole world have committed. He'd never sinned, but he bore our sins in his own body. Well, when he died on the cross, he was being punished for our sins. Okay? They took his body, they buried it in a tomb. His soul went down to hell for 3 days and three nights. He was punished for our sins. What happened 3 days later?
He rose again.
He rose again from the dead, exactly. So, now look, do you believe that Jesus died for everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're right, because the Bible says that he died not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Mm-hmm. But do you think everybody's going to heaven, though?
No.
Probably not, right? Okay, well, look, I'm going to show you what the difference is, because obviously everybody's not going to heaven. Mm-hmm. What is it that determines who goes and who doesn't? I'm going to show you right now. It says right here in Acts 16, verse 30, it says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Pretty good question, right?
Yeah.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Now, what does that say that you have to do in order to be saved? It
says, believe.
Believe on the Lord Jesus. Does that say that you have to go to church?
No.
Does it say that you have to be baptized? Does it say that you have to give up any of your sins or be willing to give up sin? Like, turn your life around, turn over a new leaf. Does it say anything like that? What does it say you have to do?
It says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now look, I'm going to show you the most famous verse in the whole Bible. John 3:16. The Bible says right here, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means whoever, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now look, we see just from those three verses. I mean, I could show you hundreds. But the point is that it says that everyone who believes on Jesus Christ will be saved. I mean, it says here, whosoever believeth, he that believeth is not condemned. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Okay. Now, does that say whosoever is good enough?
Nope.
Whosoever lives a good life, joins the church? No. It says whosoever believeth in him. Okay. Now, did you notice how it... Well, let me show you one more verse. But did you notice how it says believe on? Either believeth on him is not condemned. And it said in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason we would normally think of believe in. Believe in would be, well, I believe that Jesus is real, you know, he died on the cross and so forth. When you're saying you believe on him, it means you're putting your faith on him to get you to heaven. Like, you don't think you're going to heaven because of anything that you're doing. You're a sinner, you come to, you're putting your faith on him to save you. But I'm going to show you one last verse that kind of ties the whole thing together. Okay, and this will wrap up the whole thing. It says right here, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, is a gift something you have to earn or is it free?
A gift is free.
Exactly. Now look, who pays for a gift? The giver or the receiver?
The person giving the gift.
The person giving the gift. Who's giving us eternal life?
God is.
God. So who's got to pay for it?
God does.
He already paid for it. When he shed his blood on the cross, Jesus Christ paid for our salvation. He paid for our eternal life. Now look, if I were to give you the gift, and I said, what's your name, by the way?
Dave.
Okay, if I said, Dave, I'm going to give you this Bible as a gift, and I need to give me $5. Is that a gift? No. Okay, what if I said, okay, Dave, I'm going to give it to you for free, but I need you to wash my car? It's still not a gift. Yeah. If you have to do any work for it, it's not a gift. Okay. But what if I said, I'm giving this to you for free? No. Just take it. Now, look, who does that Bible belong to now that I gave it to you?
No.
It's yours now. Now, can I come back anytime I want and just take it away from you?
No.
No. What if I come back like a few months from now and you've done something wrong to me? Can I just come in your house and just take this and take it away?
No, it
belongs to you. That would make me what?
A thief
and a liar. Well, look, the Bible says right here that God has given to us eternal life. It says in 1 John 5:10, actually, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now, if God gave it to us, then it belongs to us, okay? He's not going to take it away from you. You can't. What I'm trying to say is you can't lose your salvation. I mean, once you're saved, it's eternal life, okay? It lasts. Do you know what eternal means?
It's forever.
Forever. So if you get it and it lasts forever, how many times do you think you have to get that? One time. Could you ever lose it?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. If I said, Dave, I'm giving you this Bible forever, and then I took it back for any reason, was I telling the truth when I said I was giving it to you forever?
No.
So if I say I'm giving it to you forever, it better last forever. Okay? So if God has given to us eternal life, that's going to last forever. You can't lose it. Jesus said it this way, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Okay? So no matter if you quit church, if even if you did something awful like kill somebody or even kill yourself, okay, God will not take away your salvation from you. Because look, you weren't good enough to get saved anyway. We come short. We're sinners. The only reason that we're going to heaven is through the blood of Jesus. And so you can't be good enough to get saved. You don't have to be good to stay saved. I mean, it's by grace through faith. Okay. So once you're saved, you're always saved. It's eternal life. It's a gift. Okay. And as soon as God took it back, he's a liar. And God, the Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So you can't lose it. So let me ask you this, Dave. Do you believe you've sinned?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins?
Yeah.
And you believe he rose again from the dead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, according to what I showed you in the Bible right here, if you were to ask Jesus to save you right now, would he do it?
Yeah.
And how long would you be saved for?
Forever.
No matter, what if you do something terrible?
It's eternal.
It's eternal. You can't lose it. It's a gift, okay? So look, what I want to do, Dave, you said you believe that if you were to pray and ask Jesus to save you right now, he'd do it, you'd be saved forever. I want to help you pray that right now, okay?
All
right. I just want to help you tell God that that's what you believe so that you'll know that you're going to heaven. You can just ask to be saved right now. Let's bow our heads right now. You can just repeat this after me, okay? And pray this to God. Go ahead and bow your head and just pray this with me. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I deserve to go to hell.
I know I deserve to go to hell.
But I believe that you died on the cross for me.
But I believe that you died on the cross for me.
And rose again.
And rose again.
Please save me right now.
Please save me right now.
And give me eternal life.
And give me eternal life.
I'm only trusting you, Jesus.
I'm only trusting you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, now you meant that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Look, that's all the Bible says that you have to do to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have a Bible?
Let's go ahead and get the lights back. Okay, now I'm off of mute. Amen. All right, give me some feedback. Rose? Go ahead, Rose. Well, you know, this is for training purposes, so we don't want difficult. If you make it difficult, you know, you guys would get discouraged in the classroom, and you don't want to go out and do it. Amen. So you got to kind of make it agreeable and make it easy. Again, if the person is ready to get saved, it's going to be easy. I mean, if the person is truly ready to get saved, it's really going to be easy. And so that's one of the things that you look at. Anything else? It was a little. Yes, Sam?
What do you think of telling them what to say?
Sometimes I will ask folks, do you want me to pray? Or do you want to pray? Or do you want to read a prayer? I'll normally give them three options. I'll say, I will pray and you just repeat after me, or I say you can pray your own prayer, or I'll give them a scripted prayer that they can read. Now, the caveat that I always give them is this: the prayer is not going to save you. The heart, the Bible says, with the heart man believeth in the righteousness. So the prayer matters not. What matters is where my heart's at with the prayer. God reads the heart. He doesn't read the lips. And so I always tell people, you have to be sincere. If I say this prayer, you repeat after me, you've got to be sincere in what you are believing. I'm already saved, so I don't need to get saved. You do. And so I'll always give them that caveat, and I'll always give them the three options: to either pray their own prayer, to read a prayer, or to have me lead them in a prayer. You know, so I don't mind doing that if the person feels comfortable with it. Oftentimes when people are going to get saved, they don't really know what to pray. I mean, they pray to God all the time asking for stuff, not asking to be forgiven of salvation or for salvation. So I don't mind that as long as the person truly understands. Yeah, Pastor White?
And Pastor White brings up a good situation. I've been with people and it's time to pray. And I'll say, okay, you want to pray? You want me to pray? I say, okay, I'll pray. And they'll say, oh, Lord, forgive me for her hurting Grandma Bessie and this, that, and the other, and this, that. And they never touch that they're a sinner. You know, forgive me for being such a horrible father or a bad mother. And I want to be a better grandmother. And I want to do this. It's like, no, no, you want to be safe from hell. That's what you want. You want to be safe from hell. You're safe from hell. God takes care of the rest of the stuff. So you got to be careful when people pray, because you may have to interject and say, okay, you prayed for these things. Those are great things. However, you didn't pay for the main thing, and that is forgiveness of sin, because you sinned against a holy God. They are the ones in question with their heart with God. So good point. Anything else? Yeah, Dan?
That's
the Holy Spirit's job.
That's
the Holy Spirit's job. And for people, it's different. For instance, I was afraid of going to hell. My wife was not. That wasn't her biggest concern either. I think, Katie, you said the same thing. So everybody's going to be different when it comes to God. However, that separation has got to be there. People have got to see, like you said, that relationship. You didn't have a relationship, so there was a separation there. And everybody's got to experience that, and only the Holy Spirit can do that. And that's why it's imperative for us to use the Word of God when we're talking to people. We can't use a fancy argument or anything like that. We've got to give them the Word of God. And so if they don't see that separation, or they don't have that relationship, or that they are going to hell, they got to somehow pay for their sins, then they really can't get saved until that point. And so we can't make them see that other than just using the Word of God. And they have got to see that. And again, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's the gospel that's going to get them saved, because Jesus had to die for a reason, and he had to die for their sins, and he was buried for their sins. He rose again for them, and so they've got to see that. So for everybody, it's going to be a little different depending upon where they're at in life and their relationship with God. Amen. Anybody else? Anything? Yes, Charmaine. Well,
I guess what I mean, like, if you just kind of stick to the scripture and just, you know, and see what Jesus says, and Jesus, I don't know, it just seemed like a lot of questions,
And it was, and it's designed to pretty much give you the fact that you can use scripture with someone. Now, he didn't give him a whole lot of leeway to say a whole lot. Right. He kept trying to hone him back in. Because when you talk to people, they're going to start going way over here. They're going to start going way over here. And he's trying to hone him back in and keep him on track. Because Satan wants to get you off the track. He doesn't want you to talk about your sin. He wants to get you off the track. And so he continued to kind of bring him back in.
So is that a bad? Are you saying that's good?
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because if a person is going to go off on a tangent, they're not going to want to deal with their sin. The focal point is always going to be off of my sin. Off of my sin, on other subjects and on other things. And so I've got to kind of corral them and bring them back in with the Word of God. Yeah, Carmen? Amen. And I agree with Ms. Dawson. I've been on both sides of the coin. I've given people time to talk. And you say, preacher, why do you give them time to talk? Because I'm going to use their words against them in just a few minutes. And I become a very good listener. I listen for certain things. And then when I start witnessing to them, I'll say, now you said this. Now the Bible says this. Now you said this, and the Bible says this. Now you said this, and the Bible says this. Now you said that. Remember that? You said this and this and this and this. And the Bible says this. So you've got to be a good listener, and you've got to give them some time to talk. And some people, you can give them a little bit more leeway because they need it, and the Holy Spirit will tell you that. And other folks, you got to close them up and keep them straight and narrow. And it all depends on the person and how the Holy Spirit is dealing with you and how you perceive God is dealing with them. Because they're the ones in question. You're already saved. Yes, Lily? Amen.
You know, that's what I do. That's what I learn, because sometimes, you know, when the person starts getting too many prison, and I just keep going and going, I make sure that I don't get them above, because my Bible says it right here.
Mm.
So every time that he asks, I say right here. So yeah, it's pretty hard sometimes, but, you know, I just share that to them, that, you know, tell them about me and
and keeping people on track is going to be one of the hardest things. Now, how many have had led someone to the Lord, took them about a half hour? How many took about an hour to lead somebody to Christ? How many took them an hour and a half to lead somebody to Christ? How about 2 hours to lead someone to Christ? And I'm talking about one sitting. Two and a half hours. 2.5 hours in one sitting? Yeah. Back and forth. It took me 2.5 hours to get saved after church. 2.5 hours. I had question after question after question, and the guy kept bringing me right back. He kept bringing me right back. He kept bringing me right back. And he kept using the same exact scriptures on all the questions I had. And he kept bringing me back, and he kept bringing me back until after I was exhausted, and the Holy Spirit just said, you just need to get saved. And then finally I got saved, and he just kept using the same scripture. I'm like, but there's other scriptures in this book. Why don't we talk about them? He said, because you don't need those. You need this one. Yes, Daniel.
In the beginning, the icebreaker was, what church do you go to?
Yes, he used church affiliation.
Right. So I'm guessing what I'm asking is there a different way to approach that? Because if you have the Holy Bible in your hand and they already go to a different church, they may not want to even look at the King James.
But you notice how he reeled them in. He said, do you go to church? And he said, yeah, I go to this. He said, oh, you go to this one down here. He said, well, more important than going to church, that's good, do you know? And so he stripped away church affiliation. He stripped away anything and said, but do you know? Because that's more important than anything, knowing where I'm going. Because a lot of people say, I go to church. And then you got to go right past it and say, but if you were to die, are you sure you're going to heaven? Yes, Sam? That's right.
If he had asked him, where do you go to church? Because I never been to church a day in my life. He probably wouldn't have used the same approach.
Right. And that's a very good point, Sam. Oftentimes, you have to find out where the person is coming from to know how to witness to them. If they tell you they have zero church background, zero knowledge of the Bible, you're probably going to start with Genesis with Adam and Eve. Because they don't know a whole lot about Jesus Christ. And you've got to kind of work your way up with them. Most of the missionaries, when they go to the jungles and the sticks, they got to start out with Genesis and creation. And they say, you see that sun up there? You see these birds? Somebody created that. And they begin to tell them about God. And they work them that way. So if a person has religious knowledge, now you can work with them a little bit better. Because the guy says, yeah, I go to that church. And so now I can use more scriptural terms or terminology. As you would. Amen. Let's look at just a couple quick things here. And I want to talk more about that video in just a little bit. Oops. Oh. Okay. Amen. All right. So Matthew 28. Let's go over there and look at Matthew 28. One of the reasons we're going to look at here, why did this guy knock on someone's door? What was the purpose behind him knocking on someone's door? By the way, we can't do any of this if we don't have a daily relationship with Christ and his word and the Spirit's power and effectiveness. It is not in us to save people. Let's just spell it out. It is not in us to save anyone. We cannot save a person. We can only be a yielded vessel, a yielded tool, filled with the Spirit of God to do what the Spirit of God is telling us to do, to talk to someone that they can get saved. We can't save anybody, nor do we have any words that can save them. So let's get that through our heads. We don't have the words that can save them. It's the gospel that's going to save them, not our words, not our fancy speeches. What did Paul say? Paul said, I didn't come to you with fancy speeches and fancy words. He said, I came to you in weakness and trembling. He said, my message was the gospel. That's the power. So we can't save them. So we got to understand that first of all. But why do we go? Why do we knock on people's doors? Why do we go? We're commanded to go. Up there we see number one, we're commanded to go. So when you look at commanded to go, witnessing is something that God commands us to do. Matthew 28, let's read that together at verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So why do we go? We're commanded to go. Some have classified this command as Christ. Where is this at here? Classified the command to go as Christ's last command should be our first concern. Witnessing is not listed as a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual command. So it's not a spiritual gift. It is what the Spirit of God does through you. Some folks say, well, I don't have that spiritual gift to talk to people. Yes, you do, because it's the Holy Spirit in you that talks to them, not you. So keep that in mind. When we go out there, it's not about who we are and what we can do. It's the Spirit of God that actually witnesses through us. Miss Ava Valdez, when she was on her last several weeks there, she had some requests. She said, this is what I want to see done. What was that? It was her last command. And what was that? That was Rose and Rose's family's first concern. We want to make sure that her last request is our first concern. Let's do what she said she wanted to see done. And so when you look at this, Christ's last command should be our first concern. We go because we're commanded to go. Matthew 28, go ye, go ye therefore and teach all nations, which is Matthew 28, which we just saw. And then Mark 16:15, he said unto them, do what? Go ye into all the world and preach the what? The gospel, every creature. Why is it the gospel? The gospel is that's what's going to save them. It's not going to be us that saves them or us that does something fancy or whimsical. And so it's the gospel. And we can give the gospel anywhere we go. Amen. By the way, several times in the New Testament it's recorded. Right? We see it in Matthew. We see it here in Mark. Let's see it here in Luke. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Luke 24:47. And so we see it in John. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you as my Father has sent me. Even so send I you. So we see it in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then in Acts, we see the same thing. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses. So everywhere we look, when it comes to the command, Christ says, do it, go, make it happen. So it's not optional, although we treat it as it's optional. It's not optional. It's something that we must do. By the way, this church will not grow if we don't go. We can put the sign up all day long and say, come into the house of God. You know what people are going to say? Why? I have no use to come in. Why should I come in? The ones that's going to come in is the ones that have been invited by someone. Or the ones that are so down on life that they say, well, Jesus must be the only hope because I don't have any other hope. But the average person is not going to come in these doors unless they see a reason to come. A relationship with you or me. Or B, the gospel message has pulled them in. But other than that, they're not going to come into this church. Think about it. Paul, when he went out, he went to go witness. Why? Because people need the gospel. So when you look at this, why we're commanded is one of the first things that we have to look at. We are commanded to go, and that's why we go. So that's why we have soul winning. That's why we have visitation. That's why we have a time that we afford you to go out there, because not everybody's going to do it on their day-to-day business. And so we afford you an opportunity here as a church, and corporately we can come together and we can go out and be sent out. And that's why Pastor White gives us visits. We go knock on doors. And our main goal is now when we go out and knock on doors, we want to make sure that we know what we're doing when we go out there. And by the way, if you're saved, you have the capability to get someone else saved. Y'all looking at me like, I do? Yes, because the same thing that saved you will save them. And that's why I had you share your testimony. What did Paul say? I was on the road to Damascus. They asked him over there, well, what happened to you, Paul? I was on the road to Damascus. What happened to you, Paul? I was on the road to Damascus. I saw this light shine. And I heard Jesus speak to me. And these guys over here, they didn't hear it. They just saw a light. These guys over here, they heard thunder. But Paul continued to say, I was on the road to Damascus. You read Acts. He kept saying the same thing. You know what I keep saying? February 3rd, 1991. 2.5 hours. Brother Dunn, Calvary Baptist Church, after the service, the sower, the parable of the sower, that was the sermon. I was arrested that day by the Spirit of God, and I got saved. Why? That's what happened. That's what happened. So when you look at this beginning here, why we go, we're commanded to go. You see the verses that are all listed there, and we're going to stop with that. But just wanted to see, first of all, with this training, why we go. Now, keep these sheets because we're going to use these sheets again next week and go over some more stuff and talk a little bit more about this video. Now, again, this video, I want you to understand that what this guy is saying and what he did may not work on every case. And I assure you, it won't work on every case because most people don't have the knowledge base that this guy had. But the one thing that you want to be able to do, hear me now. You want to be able to flip through the scriptures like that guy did. You don't want to get up there and someone say, well, what about this? Well, I know it's in here somewhere. Let me see. Yeah, it's here somewhere. Well, where's it at? Well, yeah, it's in here somewhere. You don't want to do that. That's why you want to have your Bible marked and you want to understand where it is that you can go in the scriptures very, very quickly. Now, some questions don't deserve an answer at that particular point. And you might have to say, look, we'll have to get back to that. But the questions that are pertinent, make sure you know where to go in your Bible so that you can flip back. Be knowledgeable about the gospel, salvation, and salvation verses. Write them down. I got lists of verses that I use on salvation because I don't use the same verses on everybody. I just used John 3:16 on a guy a couple weeks ago. That's the only verse I use, John 3:16. He clearly told me I don't have a whole lot of knowledge. I said, let's just stick with John 3:16. And from John 3:16, I gave him the whole gospel message. That's all he needed. Say, can they get saved? Yeah, they can. So one of the things that I'm saying here is make sure that you have that last, before, see what it says, why we are commanded to go, that Roman numeral number one, right above that. It will take a daily relationship with Christ and his word and the Spirit's power to effectively witness for Jesus. You've got to know your Savior. If you don't know your Savior, you're not going to be able to share your Savior with somebody else. Simple fact of a relation is this. If you know your children, you can talk to anybody about your children. But if you don't know your children, you can't talk to people about your children. If you don't know your Savior, you can't talk about your Savior. So when you look at this, make sure that you're in your Bible every single day. And this is a prayer that you can honestly and seriously pray. God, give me a chance to witness to somebody today. Many of us are afraid to pray that because God will give you somebody. Then you got to open up your mouth. Maybe it's just sharing a track. I was just at the gas station today. I was talking to a guy. Boom, pulled out a track real quick. Here you go. I'd love to have you come out and visit us sometime at Shining Light Baptist Church. It is the best church in Tucson. You know what he said? Wow, it is? I said, yeah, it is. In case you haven't known, I said, it is. I said, you come. And he didn't say, you just in it because you're a pastor. I didn't tell him I was a pastor. Amen. Keep these, tuck these away. Anybody have any questions before we go ahead and close? And again, we'll look at the video a little bit more next week. Each time you see it, there's something else that you can pick out in his mannerisms and what he does. But it is just that simple. And going to a door, you have to approach that door with the confidence that God's going to give you what it is that you need to say to that person. And that God can, through you, lead that person to himself that they can be saved. And you've got to be confident of that God, give me what it takes to win this person. Now, are you going to win every person? No. You're probably going to knock on more doors than you ever see people get saved. but God can still bless. Amen. So why we go, we're commanded to go, and we'll stop right there and pick up with this next week. Amen. All right. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to get dismissed in a word of prayer. Pastor White, why don't you go ahead and give us any last minute announcements. Come on up front here where everybody can see you. This is a weekend off. Mrs. Dawson, I'm taking her away to the Omni tomorrow, but I can still be reached by phone or text. If you ask me to come visit you, I probably will not unless you are really ill.
Well, one thing I'd encourage you to do tonight is tomorrow ask God to give you opportunity. Practice makes perfect. And you got to step out. Amen? And he will do it. One of the first opportunities I had to go out to witness was somebody that I prayed that God would allow me to witness to someone. It was somebody that I actually was able to, with what I had learned, to apply and share my testimony. And the lady got saved. I remember the first lady that I led to the Lord on the visitation. But it takes courage and ask God to give you opportunity, and he'll give it to you. Amen? Let's enjoy the three-day weekend. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings, God, and thank you for the privilege that we have to come before you in prayer. And God, I pray that each one here tonight, Lord, you continue to work in our hearts and lives and give us that Holy Spirit boldness, Lord, that we need to witness. And it's not us that can save them, Lord. It's not us that they would be refusing. It may be you that they would turn away. But help us, Lord, to be a courageous, Lord, in being a witness and telling people about you. And I just pray again and thank you for your blessings of giving us the opportunity to be here tonight. I pray you give us an enjoyable weekend. We look forward to being back here on Sunday in the morning service. And I pray you bless Mrs. Dawson and pastor and family as they go and celebrate her birthday. Pray you be with those that will be traveling. As you think about the Pelts and many others and Rose that will be traveling this weekend. God, how we pray you give them safety as they travel, and they help us all to continue to lift them up in prayer as they do travel. Again, we praise you and thank you for all that you've done and for what you're going to do. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.